everybody. We are going to do a quick recap before we get diving into stuff. So a recap on the previous sermon I shared with you. We talked about how the covenant is a definition, by definition, is an agreement. It's a contract, a promise, and it's sacred, sealed, and binding. And the best example we can relate that to is marriage. Marriage covenant with vows to each other and a legal document that gets signed and witnessed. Some name changing happens and exchanging of gifts. That's a good example. Then, number two, the other thing that we're really talking about was how God is looking to be in covenant with us. How we were fashioned in his image, how he establishes his covenant with us by himself. Remember when he brought Noah out of the ark? And I'll have Shar just share this verse with you, Genesis 9, verse 8. It says, I myself am establishing. Oh, that's not what it was, is it, Shar? We're having a day today. That was Genesis 9, verse 8. Maybe it's not. Let's find it. Genesis 9, verse 8. Genesis 9, verse 9. Oh, one more. Man, it makes a big difference, doesn't it? Now behold, I myself am establishing my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. That whole idea that it wasn't something Noah got involved in, but that God did this himself. And we liken this to like making a will. You make a decision to covenant to your children, your possessions, and your wealth. And they don't have any active role in that, but to inherit. They get to inherit it. So God makes the covenant with himself, and he showed this again with Abram, when Abram was actually put asleep, so that God himself could walk between the pieces of the sacrifice to make covenant himself on Abram's behalf. So this recap is to remind you again of the relationship covenant that God has planned for each one of his children. Today we're going to reflect a little bit more on Christ's role in revealing this covenant to all of us. But let's take a minute and bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, may we all hear your word spoken to us today. For your word is power, and your word is healing, and your word is life. Now, Lord, I take captive every thought in this room, and I ask it to come under the obedience of Christ, because Jesus paid far too great a price for all mankind, that I don't break down every stronghold right now. In your name, Jesus, I call every misguided religious tradition and any assignment of the enemy, every wayward perception and distraction, any dissension, any evil attitude or agenda, that it be extinguished under your Holy Spirit's conviction. I call the people within this building to gain good application today of how Christ wants to be found within the pages of your word. Shine through the shadows. May we see you in these scriptures. Amen. Okay, so what is this book? Many might think it's a book of stories of the Jews. Maybe it's a book of history on creation and writings of Moses and prophets and judges and kings. Do you struggle to read it? Let's be totally honest. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Perhaps the Old Testament maybe was written for the Jews and New Testament more for the Christians. Maybe you find yourself enjoying certain parts of the word and with others you struggle. Maybe you feel like there's a little connection between the Old Testament and how Christ is written in the New Testament. And I'd like to challenge you today, as you do read the word, look for Christ. Look for his fingerprint. Look for his plan to arise. He still did not tell them he was the Christ. He's explaining Christ to them, and he's just a man on the road. Verse 28, and they approached the village where they'd been going, and he gave the impression that he was going further. And so they strongly urged him, saying, stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And it came about, when he had reclined at the table with them, that he took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it and began giving it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were our hearts not burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered there and those who were with them, saying, the Lord really has risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relay their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them at the breaking of the bread. What a story, hey? I think we all kind of wish it was us that was on the road with Jesus and he was just a man revealing the scriptures to us. Why did he stay hidden? I think Jesus wanted them to hear his words as just the man on the road. He wanted to take them and reveal Christ to them through the Old Testament scripture that they knew. He wanted that same scripture that they learned at their mother's knee and in their religion classes to come alive. He began with Moses, and he moved on to the prophets, and he started explaining the written scriptures of Christ. You know, the road map is the prediction of Christ's birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. And he did this all without them being aware of who he was. He was just the man on the road. He came hidden because he wanted the scriptures to stand for themselves as proof. He even rebukes them here, calling them foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. May we too take heed to this. What makes us slow of heart to believe? We're slow to believe sometimes because we have no need. We may read our Bibles, but we aren't needing the life-giving word within the pages because we're not really hungry for it. It reminds me of a Wednesday night a few months ago when Pastor Corey questioned a man needing healing of what scriptures he was basing his faith upon. It was a tough question to be asked in front of all of us, but in truth, we need to find our beliefs within the Bible, and we need to focus our prayers on those promises that we've come to have faith in. Sometimes the questions may seem tough, but we need to have hungry hearts for the word to be revealed to us. When you know that the basis of your faith is that no weapon formed against me will prosper, Isaiah 54:17, or that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4, or my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, or by his stripes I'm healed. If you have no basis from the Bible on which to stand and pray from, then you have no authority. Your words are fluff and meaningless, even to yourself. But when you have God's word, the authority is his, and he is just being reminded of it. You read in Luke 24:17 about Cleopas and the other man being sad and how they came to a stop in the road. And then in verse 21, when it says, we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. And you just think how close to the truth they really are. So then this man in the road in verse 27 begins with Moses and the prophets, and he's explaining to them the things written about himself, about Jesus, in all the scriptures. And all of a sudden, everything starts connecting. How Jesus was exactly who he said he was, and what an amazing plan God had outlined in the Holy Scriptures as to how he had planned Jesus to be our way to the Father. And this so enlightened them that when they got to the village and he looked like he was going on, they strongly urged him to stay in verse 29. They actually drew this man from the road to come in and died with them. You know, your actions and your body language can draw the spirit. Do your actions reveal to God your hunger for his word? Are you staying up late, taking time at lunch, or getting up early to sift through the words? I think on the scripture, Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Or Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Or Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, your actions, your posture, your time, your commitments, work or leisure, your tithe and finances and in time and service, your obedience to all extra offerings to go to the places where the Spirit has led you to give, those all are meaningful to following after His Spirit. You know when those meetings have gone too long and you close your book and you collect your pens and your belongings and you've already distracted yourself away to other things? What am I going to have for lunch? And you're removing yourself from the Mount Sinai where God wanted to talk with you. These two men on the road saw something of great value in this man on the road. And he showed them that Christ, through the scriptures, and they just wanted him to remain with them. Guess what? We can have Christ remain with us forever. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He can be with us forever, to abide in him and he in us. But it all comes with our hunger needs. God's word cannot come alive if we don't completely surrender Jesus as Lord. And I remember that time myself when I wanted him more than anything and I needed him. And then the Bible became alive. And I had no peace if I couldn't find promises in his word and I ate and drank the word of God. God's word was breathed into my spirit and his Holy Spirit was writing this word of his upon my heart. And it became flesh to me. And now there's substance to my faith. So in Luke 24, verses 30 and 31, when he broke the bread, they tasted and seen that the Lord was good. They finally had their eyes opened. It was then when they sat and they ate together. And why then? I was thinking, is it physically just because maybe now his cloak was far enough up his hand and they started to see the nail piercings in his hand when he broke the bread and gave it to them? I don't know, or if it was just the Holy Spirit opened their eyes. But either way, right then, they needed to remember everything that he had shared with them on the road, right? Like, what did he say again? How did he explain it all? We have to go back to Jerusalem and tell our friends. All of a sudden, it became real. I think to the story of Ruth and how she's gleaning in the fields with Boaz. She was hungry. And she didn't rush along only grabbing what she could in the 1 hour she spent in the field. No, she spent like all day out there and dug through the straw and the stubble and the dirt to rescue the gleanings that fell to the ground unnoticed. Do you sift through the Word of God and glean the unnoticed parts of a story? Or the heartfelt meaning of why Christ acted the way he did? He so longs for you to find him. He wants to be that hidden nugget of grain in the dirt for you to scratch out and find. And he loves that. When Cleopas and his other man realized Jesus was the one walking along the road with them and explained himself through the entire scriptures, they couldn't remain in Emmaus any longer. They returned immediately to Jerusalem to tell their disciple friends of all the things that had been confirmed. They said, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." That's verse 34 and 35. It says that they related their experiences of Jesus on the road and how he recognized them, or how they recognized him when they broke the bread. So who is it that you need to inform? Who's in your circle that needs to hear the scriptures that have been revealed to you? For scripture revelation isn't meant to keep to yourself, but to share. The sad thing about all of this is that the scripture could stay hidden to us. It stayed hidden to all of the chief priests. It was my beginning prayer that no assignment of the enemy or anything of ourselves be able to hamper us from receiving the understanding of the truth that God wants for us to enter into this blood covenant, this finished work of Jesus Christ. He so desires to make this way of his son so plain to you, but you still need to be hungry for him. If you have a searching heart today, ask him to show himself to you. Remember Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Find whatever it is that's slowing your heart from believing, and bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. Heavenly Father, we just bow our heads now in closing, and we ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see Christ. Show us your path from the beginning of time. How you planned each one of us. How you planned Jesus. How you signed the covenant with yourself through Jesus' blood. And you gave your Son for us and made this way of redemption for us. Father, open our eyes to see how you intend for us to choose to enter into this covenant and to know that it was Christ's payment at the cross, his trip to hell to remove the curse upon us, to free us from a nature of sin, that we can be given the right to become children of God. And you say that we are. May we continually remind ourselves of this, so that we live a life pleasing in your sight. Amen.